God, for my Redeemer, thanks for all thou dost provide. Thanks for times that but a memory. Thanks for Jesus by my side. Thanks for peasant bonny springtime. Thanks for dark and dreary fall. Thanks for tears by now forgotten. Thanks for peace within my soul. Thanks for prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for pain and thanks for pleasure. Thanks for comfort in despair. Thanks for grace that none can measure. Thanks for love beyond compare. Thanks for roses by my wayside. Thanks for thorns their stems contain. Thanks for home and thanks for fireside. Thanks for all that sweet refrain. Thanks for joy and thanks for sorrow. Thanks for heavenly peace with thee. Thanks for hope in the tomorrow. Thanks for all eternity. Thanks to God for my Redeemer. Thanks to all eternity.
Amen. Thanks the Lord. Thanks to the Lord for all that He is and does for us. I want you to consider some of the greatest preachers of all time. I want you to think just for a moment who might be considered some of the greatest preachers. Some of those people would probably be men of bygone days, men of the past, men who had the ability, but really the blessing and the grace of God to be able to open up the scriptures and put them in such a way that they made such an impact upon people. Think just for a moment who some of these great preachers were, men of the past. Just think for a moment, maybe come up with a list of some of those great preachers that God has given of the past. And with that, I know that some of you, I really don't know any of those great preachers, and some of you certainly probably came up with five or six just like that. But we praise the Lord for those people that brought the scripture to our attention to give us the truth in such a clear way that it would make an impact in our lives. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 19, though. Go to Psalm 19. And I want to introduce you to a preacher that is very well known, and yet probably not considered. Go to Psalm, and go to Psalm 19. In Psalm chapter 19, in the first couple verses, the very first verse, we're introduced to this great preacher, if I could put it that way. We're actually going to look at the first six verses of Psalm 19. The Bible says, God says in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. You say, Pastor, what in the world do those verses mean? Can I put it very simply that we can look at creation, and creation for us has been a tremendous preacher of the truth. Creation preaches the truth. I'm very excited to give you what God has given to me this morning and hope that you would understand and see some great truths that are given to us in a few passages of Scripture today. You know, all we have, God intended to demonstrate so much by looking at what we see in creation. And of course, creation involves many different elements. A lot of us, when we think of creation, we think of nature, we think of the trees, we think of the grass, we think of flowers, we think of the majestic mountains, we think of animals, we think of great animals, and we think of small animals, we think of large animals, we think of his creation, but we also think of our own selves, for we are his creature, we are his creation. And God has created us, and I will tell you that creation is a tremendous preacher of God's goodness. Tremendous creature of God's goodness. And I want you to see in some ways in which God has used creation to declare his goodness. Can we now take our Bibles and go to another place in the book of Psalm? And let's go to another place, Psalm 104. Psalm 104 is a tremendous passage also that I would like us to focus on. And if you are so able, would you please follow best you can as we look at Psalm 104. And as you look at Psalm 104, you're going to notice that there's 35 verses here. And it's important to us to go through them. I typically don't go through that many verses in a morning, and I'm not going to preach this passage. In fact, we're only going to focus on two verses, but I want you to get the main idea and the theme of Psalm 104 as we move forward this morning. Psalm 104, take your Bibles there and look at that as I read. I'm going to read it, and I want you to be thinking as I read. What is God trying to say in Psalm 104? What can we get out of it? And how can it help us this morning as we move forward understanding God's amazing grace? Look at Psalm 104. I'm going to read, you follow. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains. They go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth those springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They gave drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quenched their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, the oil to make his face to shine, and bread which is strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests, as for storks, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are refuge for the wild goats and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth into his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping, innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships, there is the Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, they gather, thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled, thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Father, I pray that you would help me as I give in the next few moments some truths that we need to learn today that would make an impact and help in our lives so that we can be to the praise of your glory. God, that we can be the recipients of your amazing grace. God, would you help us to hear from this great preacher this morning, not me, but you and your creation. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. First of all, I want us to see the truth of in nature. The truth in nature. Could you pick up in Psalm 104 that it's talking about God's creation? I mean, you can see it all around. There's so much of creation, and how many elements in God's creation were listed. Many, many, many different things, from the wind to animals to so many things that God created. In the beginning, we know that God created the heavens and the earth. And in Genesis chapter 1, we read about God's amazing creation on the earth and how he created the universe. He created the earth and everything in the earth to make it into what it is today. God created the heavens and the earth. And here we see that God has created the earth. I mean, he creates. Think just for a moment about the elements of our day. Today is a very windy day, right? It's a windy day. And as I look, I only see a little bit. It looks like the sun is shining, but I can see the leaves going across the parking lot as I speak. It's a windy day. I was here very early this morning, here praying, and when I was here, I feel like the wind was even stronger than it was. Just windy, windy, windy this morning, and I was meditating. You know, and I don't, being a Wyoming ranch boy, I should love the wind. I don't like the wind. I should love the wind because it always blows there. It hardly ever stops. But I still don't like it. But I recognize that the wind is for a purpose. Have you ever recognized that wind mostly comes after rain? Well, rain is another thing that I don't necessarily like unless I'm farming or growing a garden or something, but rain, or maybe trying to get my grass green. You know, rain is something that seems to be somewhat of a detriment, but boy, to others, rain is a tremendous thing. But we look at the rain that comes and when it falls, and sometimes we're very glad for rain, and then other times we're not so glad for rain. And sometimes we're glad for wind when everything's wet and we want it dried out, and there are times that we're not glad for wind. And we could go through all of creation. The sun, we typically like when the sun is shining, right? I don't know about you, but I like when the sun's shining. But there are times when we wish that the sun wasn't shining. for different and various reasons. We could go into the other types of life when we could look at plants. Sometimes we like plants because plants beautify things and they grow things and they things for our use, but there are sometimes that certain plants grow that we don't want, and some of you go out and pull them out. We live with plants and we like plants, and yet there are times when we don't want those plants. And of course there's flowers and some beautiful flowers, and yet some people, you know, take the flowers and do different things with them. And you know, you take a dandelion and blow, you know, the kids blow the seeds everywhere. And you're thinking, as a grass, you know, owner, you're thinking, no. Not so beautiful right now. But you know, all of these things God created, we could move on to trees. I'm a tree lover. Most of you know who I'm looking at in the back. There's a tree hater, not a tree hater, almost. Ron doesn't like trees. He'll cut down every tree in his path. You know, I plant. Ask my kids everywhere I go, you know, homes I live by. I want to plant trees. I like trees. I grew up in Wyoming. I didn't have any trees, you know, out there in the wilderness. And so I like, yeah, the wilderness, you know. It sounds like the wandering in the wilderness. I did that for many years and wandered in the wilderness. And then I came to Pennsylvania, so I went from nothing to everything. And we've got trees growing out here. But, you know, trees are good, and yet a tree right by the foundation of your home, not so good, right? And so we have things in life, and we could go then to the birds. We like birds. We love birds, and yet sometimes they fly into our furnace system and they block things up and they cause a problem. We had that this week, okay? And we've got some expenditures because of a bird making a nest in our pipes and stuff. And you know, and we could continue to go through different things, you know, beasts of the field, and what does that entail? We love to be driving along and see them. We see the beasts there, but when they get into, you know, a place they're not supposed to get into, we don't like them, or they run in front of us when we're driving down the road. And so you understand that we have creation that is there, and we've got a different perspective of the creation depending on what side of the fence you're on. Look at Psalm 104. And verse 27 and 28. My friend, as you look at this, who created all these things? Who created creation? The creator, right? God. God is the creator. And we look at the creation and we say, what is the point of all of this? My friend, I'll tell you. God created the universe because he wanted you to see his amazing grace. You say, how do we see his grace in creation? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I want to show you this morning. We see God's amazing grace in his creation. The creation that I just shared with you in very minute and very small, very limited detail. I want you to see all of these things that God has created. Look in verse 27. These wait, and these is referring to what? His creation, right? All these things. And he's taken time to list wind and goats and everything in between. And he says in verse 27, these wait all upon thee. I want you to think just for a moment. From a lily in the field to a goat in a fence, their life depends upon what? Or if I should say, who? Can a lily do much for itself? Not really. Yet the lily depends upon the sun. The lily depends upon the dirt. The lily depends upon the rain. The lily depends upon the wind. The lily depends upon God's creation. It depends upon God's creative ability. Depends upon his sustaining, his maintenance in life. I want you to think about a goat. And if there are any goat farmers in the room, I don't want to offend you at all, but what can a goat do for itself? Okay, you know, and goats are very valuable. You can do a lot of things with goats, but honestly, the sustenance and sufficiency of a goat depends the same as the lily upon God. For the goat needs something to eat. The goat needs a place to live. The goat needs the, you know, everything else. He needs the water. He needs the sun. He needs the dirt to grow the grass that it eats and all the garbage that it eats, okay? You know, honestly, and we could look, and do these animals do something? I mean, a lily can't do much for itself. Does a goat? Well, it does. It walks and it goes. But my friend, do you understand that the goat wouldn't survive without God? Do you understand that? I mean, honestly, all of life is not just been created by God, but it has also been maintained, and it is being maintained by God. Now, a couple months ago, I preached a message where I talked about some of these things, and I bring it back to you again. You know, is God's creative ability amazing? I want you to think just for a moment. Is what God did in creation, is it absolutely amazing? It is. I mean, how many of us have the ability to create something amazing like a blade of grass? Now, you thought I was going to say something amazing, didn't you? But can any of us create a blade of grass that grows like it does? And you know that I started with something relatively simple. And life begins to be so complex. So complex, down to the minutest details of not long ago, my children were watching a very old, moody video on science. Anybody familiar with those old moody videos, which had so many scientific things there? They're really good resources, even in 2025. I know some of you will be like, wow, that guy looks ancient. Yeah, probably so. He's living. But science is still the same, and it's the same God that is being talked about. You know, we were learning about water and the different molecules of water and how small they are and how many there are and the different properties that they have. You know, even in something like water, only God could produce something like water. None of us have the ability to produce water. Yet, in all of God's creation, how amazing it was, my friend, don't underestimate maintaining creation. Creation is an amazing thing that happened. God created water and he created grass, but he created a little baby. Have you ever taken a tiny little baby in your hands, and as it breathes, and you know that the only way that little breath of life can continue to happen is because of God's maintaining work. Not only did God create the universe, but he maintains it every single day. Every day, God is working. We thought creation was amazing, but folks, it's nothing. It is no more than his maintaining every day. His allowing you to stay in his hands. His allowing you to stay on the face of the earth. Are you thankful for gravity? Because the fact of the matter is as the earth revolves and rotates, without gravity, we would all fly off the face of the planet. But the fact of the matter is I'm here. Why? What? You know, we don't think about gravity. Did anybody of you, you know, wake up this morning and thank God for gravity?
No.
No, I didn't either. Why? Because we look at creation and we say, wow, and I think that we underestimate creation. We see it every day, right? We underestimate it, but folks, I want to tell you, we really underestimate maintenance. His keeping us here every day. His providing in so many different ways. We go out into the sun and it gives us certain vitamins. When we get into this and it does this, and how many complex things of life God has done. And I go back to Psalm 104, and we look back at verse 27. These, talking about the creation, whether it's a lily or a goat, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. At just the right time, God gives the meat. God gives the water. God gives the light. God gives the storm. God gives the fire. God gives the everything. And we look at those things and, you know, like fire. Do we like fire? Yes, when it's at a campfire on a Saturday evening, you know, with a hot dog and hot chocolate. We like the fire in the middle of the winter when we're cold and we need to get that started, and we like the fire, but we don't like the fire when it's in our woods and it's burning down all of our trees, or if it's in our home. But we understand. But what can we see here? All of these things are not only created by God, but they are also maintained by God. Maintained by God. God is the one that does this. And we see in verse 27 that all of creation waits upon God. Does it have anything to do with the lily? The answer is no. Does it have anything to do with the goat? The answer is no. Does it have anything to do with the air? It doesn't, as it blows. It has nothing to do with it, because it's all powered and directed and ordained by an almighty God. God is behind all of it. Everything. And without God, it would fall apart. If fire was not maintained by God, what would happen? We would all burn up. If water was not maintained, what would all happen? We would all drown. If everything wasn't maintained by God, we would lose it all. Our lives are maintained by God. God created our life, and He maintains our life. And that's a tremendous truth. And here we're starting to see that the creation is starting to preach a message that's so very important to us. Nature, a great preacher of God's amazing grace. And my friend, God is the creator, or if I could say the supplier. And we, in creation, are the receiver. Let me say that again. God is the supplier. He is the worker. He is the provider. We are the recipient. We're the receiver. We're the one that takes it all in, right? Like the lily, like the goat, like the wind, we take it in. God is the one that has done all of the work. You see, we were created to be dependent. Let me say that again. We were created to be dependent on God. You were created to be dependent. You need God. Without God, you don't have your life. It's as if we're like suspended from a string from heaven, with God holding, and at any moment He could drop us if He chose to, but He doesn't. We're here. He maintains us. He creates us, and He maintains us. And we were created to be dependent. Here we have a presentation from nature of God's amazing grace. Now, I want you to think just for a moment. How is creation, with what we've just looked at, how is this a presentation of God's grace? Because we recognize in nature that nature only exists because of a creator, right? A provider. Creation itself is then a receiver. He's the giver, and we're the taker. You're starting maybe to run some parallels in life about our eternal destination. Isn't it amazing that in life, God has told us through the scriptures that He is the giver? How do we come to have saving faith in Jesus Christ? The Bible teaches very clearly that we are all sinners. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The fact of the matter is everybody in the room here this morning is a sinner. We're all sinners. Every one of us has gone against God and His Word. We have done our own thing. We have gone against that. And this brings us into the second point that I want us to look at. So we have the truth of nature, but I want you to see the trouble with nature. The trouble with nature. Go to Romans chapter 1 if you would. Romans chapter 1 is a tremendous testimony of some things that we've got to get with this. Romans chapter 1. Creation is listed in Romans chapter 1 here, but in a very negative way, if I could say. And it's not because of creation, nor because of the Creator, but because of part of us creatures that take creation the wrong way. So we see the truth in nature, but next I want you to see the trouble with nature. We see the Romans 1 dilemma. What a passage. We could spend so long here, but we only have so much time. Look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. I just told you that we're sinners, okay? Romans chapter 3, here in a couple chapters, he gives a principle or a truth that tells us that we're all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only do we see in the Scripture that we're sinners, but we have proven it, haven't we? We've proven it. I have proven it over and over and over again that that's true. I am a sinner. We know in Romans chapter 6 that there's a wage for that. In other words, do you understand what a wage is? We work for it. A wage is something that we work for. Every time we work, we're earning more. There's another penny, there's another dollar. Every second, every minute, another pay is coming in. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin. So we've already established that we're sinners. Every time I sin, I'm working for death. Kind of an amazing thing. Would any of you work for death? No, but we are. Romans 6, you can look at it, Romans 6:23. So we know in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We fall short of His perfection. We fall short of His holiness. We fall short of His glory. God is the only one that is holy and righteous without sin. And yet we see that we are with sin and there comes with it a wage. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God from Him forever. For the wages of sin is death. He ends the verse, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God loves us so much that He made a way for us to have eternal life. As we look at the dilemma of Romans chapter 1, we see a group of people. God had done so much for them, and they knew it. They had gone out in creation. They said, wow, God's given us a beautiful earth. Wow, God's done a lot for us. And in fact, some of these people, they had part of the Scriptures to read, and they say, wow, God has done a lot for us. They knew it, but they tended to look at the creation. They tended to look at what was out there, and they kind of said, you know what? They didn't look at the Creator behind it, but they looked at the creation that was there, and they began to worship that. Look at, and I don't even have time to get into all the passages in Romans 1, but let's look at verse 20. And this is really where it starts. I mean, God, look at verse 19. It says that God showed him his glory and he manifested it in them, for God showed it unto them. I mean, he declared his glory. But in verse 20, for the invisible things of him which from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But notice verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, and it continues to go on through that. And I don't know if you're familiar with Romans chapter 1. I don't have time to get into it, but I will tell you it's a downward spiral that finds its way into a deep, dark hole. And can I tell you, you know what that dark, deep, dark hole looks like? Our world today. Our world today. At this very date, that's what our world looks like. Take it home and look at it. You'll see it's turning every ounce of truth into a lie. And it's turning every ounce of truth, or ounce of a lie, into truth. And do we see that today? We do. And what does it say in verse 21 of why? How could that come about? And by the way, from the next verses all the way to the end of the chapter, it kind of shows what that looks like. And it's a picture of today in our world. It's a picture of it. How did it come about? Where was the top of the spiral? Verse 21 tells us. People that knew the truth, two things. What? They didn't glorify God as God, and they weren't thankful. Guess what the dilemma is? Do you remember the point that I made in point number one? Was that we were created to be dependent. Man doesn't want to be dependent. Man wants to be rather independent. We have a problem, folks. We like to live independently from God. And I know some of you spiritual ones in the room say, not me, Pastor. You know what? And to tell you the truth, we all would say, not me. But I'll tell you what, in our practical lives, many of us try to live independently sometimes from God. We try to make our own decisions. We try to do our own things. And we don't like it when the wind is blowing and we complain about it. We don't like it when we have a flat tire and we complain about it. We don't like it when we don't have enough money and we complain about it. And we don't like the way God has given. But you know, back in Psalm 104, remember those two verses that we read? God is the maintainer of all this, right? He causes the fire to come at the right time, and there's a wrong time for it, and so he withholds it, and there's a time for the water, and there's a time for the wind, and there's a time for, there's a food for the goat, and there's a purpose for the goat, and there's a, all of these things. Psalm 104 basically spent a lot of verses saying, listen, I've created all this, and I maintain it perfectly. I maintain it perfectly. I got a perfect life out there. And we go back to the Garden of Eden. And you know, God created Adam and Eve in a beautiful place. And do you know that it was made in the perfection of the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve? Do you know that God still created them to be dependent upon God? And what was it that ruined that blessed state in which they were there in the garden? What ruined it? Their desire to be independent. On my own. That's the problem. Back to nature. Nature gives us an amazing picture of dependence upon God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world, and on and on. Folks, I want to tell you, God has created the story of grace in his creation. He created man to be dependent upon him. And he said this. He said, creation, you listen to me. If you will, I've created you, and I will maintain you, and you can trust me for it, and I will give you everything that you need. Everything you need. Hey, little birdie, I will make you a tree to put your nest in. And I'll provide for you a worm so that you can feed your young. And I will, and he goes to every part of creation, and he tells that part of creation, he said, listen, I'm going to maintain you perfectly. And by the way, folks, I want to tell you, God not only creates perfectly, but he maintains perfectly everything that happens. He created perfectly. The problem came in the Garden of Eden. The problem comes for us is when the creation rebels against the Creator and says, listen, I don't want dependence. I want independence. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man was created to be dependent upon God. Man did not like it, and we sinned, and we said, no, God, I don't want you. And because of that, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, there is a wage, there is a punishment, there is a penalty for that sin, and we all deserve eternal punishment in hell, death, as it's called in that verse. But God, who is rich in mercy, a God who loves you in spite of who you are, remedied the situation. He remedied the situation. God is the supplier. We are the recipient. The moment we think that we can do it and be the supplier, we take his place. We step out in independence, and it ruins grace. It ruins grace. You see, God supplied. Listen, everybody listen to me. This is the most important part of this message. God supplied the means for you to have eternal life, period, alone. And there's not a single thing that you can do to get it. Now, that message is contrary to Scripture. But folks, look outside. Look outside. The blade of grass or the goat or the wind cannot do anything for itself. It's dependent upon a holy God. It's dependent upon an all-powerful God to do everything for it. Why should we think that we can do something to maintain our salvation? Look outside. The psalmist was right in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. Folks, preaches a tremendous message of grace. Because we can't do anything for ourselves. Only God. Not only for our maintenance physically, but for our eternal security and destination. It's all God. He did it. And so many people today are thinking, okay, I got to be religious. My life is a mess. God made me to be dependent upon him. I've been independent. I've been doing my own thing. I'm going to be independent. And it hasn't worked for you. It hasn't worked. It doesn't work, by the way. Independence from God will never work because God never created us to be that way. That's why we see our world in the situation today, because man is trying to live independently from God. It doesn't work. But when we recognize our dependence, wow, then we put ourselves under God, and God works it. And God loves you enough to send his son Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross, because you can't do anything to get it. And for those of you that think that you can, and by the way, there are a lot of people and there are a lot of churches worshiping today, and I'm not knocking them, but I want to tell you they're not looking outside and they're not looking in their Bibles. God says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Did you hear that? It's not by what you can do. If you thought that you could come to church this morning and go to heaven or better your chances to get to heaven, I am so sorry, but you're wrong. God says it's not by work. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 is what I'm quoting. If you don't know it or believe it, look at it. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness. That's good things. which I have done, which I can do. Go to church, raise a family, give to charity, put money in the offering plate, get baptized, do this, do that. You know, a lot of things that people, good people, try to do so that they can get to heaven. And God says, not. Not. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. He says, no, it doesn't work. You can't do anything for yourself. Look at creation. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. He's talking about the cross, which is empty now. He did the work. He did all of the work necessary for you to have eternal life. All of the work. And when He was done with the work, He said, it is finished. It is finished. Did you hear that? It's finished. God is not looking for you to be a good person to get you to heaven. You can't do it. Nature can't do it. You can't do it. He did the work. Remember, He is the supplier. You are the recipient. You can't do it. He did it. He did it, folks. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace, there's a key word for the day, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's a dependence word. That's stepping out and saying, listen, I'm just trusting in His work, not mine. It's kind of like what the grass does every day. It doesn't know it. The blade of grass doesn't know that it's doing that. It's not human. It doesn't have a mind. But you know, every day the grass or the goat demonstrates its trust. It just lives. It just lives. The goats aren't worried about tomorrow. Neither is the blade of grass nor the birds. They don't worry about it. You know, a horse doesn't complain about the wind. It just turns its back to it. Because that's the way God made it. They're dependent upon God. Folks, we have a lesson to learn from the rest of our creation. It's not us. It's Him. And for you who are here this morning not knowing about your eternal destination, my plea to you is rest and trust in a God that's given grace. You can't do anything, but you can trust Him. Because He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross and to do all the work that wouldn't do you any good. He did the work so that you could have eternal life, and all He's asking you is to have faith, or what He calls depend. Trust. Place your dependence and say, hey, what He did was good enough, and I'm trusting that. If you're here this morning and you don't know about your eternal destination, I'll tell you, it's not about a bunch of work. It's not about going to church. It's not about doing this and doing that and making sure you... It's not about that. It's about Jesus' work already done 2,000 years ago. Done. Finished, He said. And all you need to do? Believe. That word believe is a dependence word. It's just to trust. It's just to say, what have I got? Nothing. What does He have? Everything. I'm going to place my dependence upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I'm depending upon Him to take me to heaven, just like the grass is depending upon God to take care of its needs, or the lily in the field, or the goat in the fence, is demonstrating God's amazing grace. God's grace. We were created to be dependent. And nature is a presentation of God's amazing grace. We have chosen to live independently, a rejection of God's amazing grace. He the supplier, and we the supplanter in this case. Thirdly, we see the trust in God and His grace. Take your Bibles really quickly. We're just about done. Go to Matthew chapter 6. We're just about ready to close. I want you to get this and don't lose it here in the last moment. This is all leading up to something. And I will tell you, this message is not just a salvation message. Some of you are thinking it is, okay? Pastor wanted to get the gospel out, so if there's anybody not saved. And by the way, if you're not saved here, this message is for you. But Christian, I want to tell you something. We've got a lesson to learn here. So don't check out just because it's after 12. All right? Trust in God and His grace. Look at Matthew chapter 6. And there's so much here, but I start in verse 25. You pay attention as I read, because it's important. It's important for you believers. Don't miss it. Therefore, now he's been talking about things, so I'm just going to jump right into the passage and the context here. But just note, you'll get it here in a moment. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Very simply put, he's like, don't worry about your life. Don't worry. Don't take thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body what ye shall put on. He's saying there, he uses a couple things there. He says, you know, don't worry about your life, where you're going to live, what you're going to eat, the clothes that you're going to wear. You know, he said, I don't want you to worry about the provisions of life. And by the way, it's not just those three things. It's really everything of life. Don't worry about it. Those of you that are worried about your finances, he says, you know, listen, don't worry about it. Those of you who are worried about your health, he said, listen, don't worry about it. Those of you that are worried about some emotional things and struggles, relationships, social things, he said, listen, don't worry about those social things. You know, relationships with family, relationship with the people at work, he said, listen, don't worry about it. He said, don't worry about things. And if I could take a time out, why wouldn't we need to worry about those things? He said, wait a second, I created you and I'm maintaining you. And he's going to give us an illustration here. Notice what he says. He says, you know, so don't take thought. Verse 26, behold, the fowls of the air. We talked about those fowls. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And the answer is, yes. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? Can anybody do anything for themselves? The answer is no. We can try, and when we do, you know what we're doing? We are being independent. Doesn't work. He says, you can't grow yourself. One of my sons tried to grow himself. It didn't work. I won't tell you which one of those sons it was. Well, it did kind of work. It got past me. That was a side note. Not necessary. 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Let me tell you, and we don't have time to get into Solomon and his temple, but if you ever studied Solomon's temple, it was absolutely amazing. Unsurpassing for its time. God says the lily of the field that we trample over when we go out into the field is taken care of perfectly. 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 He takes care of the lily. Wherefore, in verse 30, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, here is it to us, take no thought. In other words, don't be consumed with or worried or fear. Take no thought. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Look up here, not because of me. Look up here. God knows, sir, what you need. He knows better than what you know. He really knows what you need. He was the creator of you and he's the sustainer of you. He knows. He knows when the wind needs to blow, and it obviously needs to blow today. He knows when we need rain. He knows when we need a flood, and he knows when we need a fire. He knows when you need a layoff, and he knows when you need a break. He knows when you need a raise, and he knows when you need a home, and he knows when you need to rent. He knows when you need to be healthy, and he knows when you need some time to be sick. He knows all these things, and I tell you, he perfectly orchestrates every single part of that perfectly. And it's called grace. 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 Because it's nothing that you can do. God created us to be dependent, not independent. We need him. We need him. And he's got us taken care of. And he says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, would you just trust me and seek me and his righteousness and all these things? He says, I'll take care of you. Did you hear that? He says, I'll take care of you. That's a promise of God. Believer here today, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Final conclusion, verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the end is the evil or the trouble thereof. Psalm 37, 3 through 7. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Remember, he is the supplier. Me, the receiver. Created to be dependent, choosing to live independently, committed to live dependently is what God is asking us to do today. Will you live dependent upon him? Here we have an acceptance of his amazing grace. Andrew Murray said this, we may rest assured that God, who created us for himself, in order to give himself to us, will never disappoint us. Let me read it one more time. We may rest assured that God, who created us for himself, in order to give himself to us, will never disappoint us. My friend, I want to tell you something. God's grace is amazing. And it's amazing for you today. If God can take care of creation out there, he can take care of creation right in here. He can take care of you. He is the supplier. We are the recipients. That's the way it is in nature, and it ought to be the way in our lives as well. Would you be willing to give God the rightful reign to be the supplier in your life? It's not about us doing. It's about his doing and us receiving. Obey him where he says. Do what he says. But the only reason why you get is not because of your obedience. It's because he's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. If you're here this morning and you have never received God's amazing grace for your eternal destination, my friend, it's the same thing. You can't get to heaven without his grace. And he's offered his grace, but you simply need to accept that grace. Somebody in my family can offer me a Christmas gift here at another month, and they can give it to me, and I can think, oh, I know what that is. I can't believe you're going to give it to me. But if I never reach out and take it, that gift will never mean anything to me. And if you never reach out and take the gift of Jesus Christ of eternal life for yourself, then it will never mean anything to you either. Do you know you're on your way to heaven today? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your amazing grace. God, thank you for your grace. God, thank you for the message from the great preacher. Nature declares the glory of God. Nature declares grace. And although we cannot get the gospel from creation, Lord, we can certainly get it from your word. But God, I thank you that nature itself declares your grace, that it cannot be done by its work. It cannot be done by our work. It's only you. And God, the same thing is true in our lives. It can only be done by you. So God, may we today trust wholly in you, whether it's for our salvation or whether it's for our sanctification, our life as we live it. God, would you help these people? I don't know where they're at today with their spiritual walk. I don't know if they know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I don't know. Maybe they're going through some difficult times. Lord, today I pray that they would trust in you. Trust in you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.